fly by very quick, although it was only about 2 weeks ago that we had our last meeting. But I think it might be a good opportunity, we could seize this opportunity and take advantage of it, that we can link together the topics that we were speaking about last month and with this meeting. We can try to link those together to a deeper meaning of what we're talking about. So last talk we spoke about the apparent paradox between Our Lady's joy amid her sorrow. And so we saw that Mary, her greatest sorrows, and particularly at the foot of the cross, they were not moments of despair, which to any other person they would have been, but those were moments of profound love, the deepest love possible. So her pain was accompanied by a deep trust in God's plan, knowing that her son's sufferings would be the redemption of the world. And similarly, that her joy is seeing us transformed into Christ, and that suffering is not an obstacle to obtaining that goal. In fact, Our Lady, she takes joy in knowing that through our crosses, through our sufferings, we become more like her divine Son. So that was the whole theme of understanding the spirituality of the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it really helps us to focus on trust in God, trust in our Blessed Mother. But I want to repeat that last line again from that last little section there. She takes joy in knowing that through our crosses we become more like her divine Son. And that sounds like a paradox. She takes joy in our crosses. And I can't help but connect that with another, the saints, the spiritual writers, they echo this same theme, but one in particular really stands out in my mind, that same theme. It's another paradox in the spiritual life. And this comes from St. Therese of the Child Jesus. Her feast day was just a few days ago. And she says this, that it closely resembles what we were speaking about. Oh, how happy I am to see myself imperfect and so much in need of God's mercy. Oh, how happy I am to see myself imperfect. That sounds wrong to our mind. Oh, how happy I am to see myself imperfect. We have this modern temptation to view those words and to view that mindset and say there's something wrong with this. There's some kind of like twisted emotional state going on here. That's not true at all. This is another paradox in the spiritual life. Oh, how happy I am to see myself imperfect. Because the main point is not just to see it, not just to see how imperfect we are. That's not the point. It's kind of obvious we see it, of course, we see it all the time. The point is that we should be at peace with it. That's what St. Therese of the Child Jesus is showing. We should be at peace with our imperfections. Basically, to accept the way we are. Obviously, not accepting our sin, our attachment to sin. Obviously, we're not talking about that. We can never accept that. But what we are referring to is weakness, our human weakness. We have to accept that. We can't change it. The fact that we have a fallen human nature, we simply cannot alter that state. It's what makes us human. We cannot change that. These weaknesses, they can be very humbling, and that's the whole point. And that's why it becomes this paradox. How, in fact, we should take joy in those weaknesses. Because it keeps us humble. We have to keep ourselves humble because our fallen human nature is constantly rebelling against us. It's constantly trying to make us think that it's about us, that it's something that we did, that it's something that came from us. There's nothing that comes from us. It all comes from God. How many, we think about our human weaknesses, just to list off a couple to get our mind concrete. What are we talking about here with regard to human weakness? It's not a sin, but with regard to what is a human weakness? Well, things like our focus. Our focus, we tend to easily drift off. It's hard to focus on our prayers. Our mind wanders. That's a human weakness. Our tiredness, the fact that we're tired, the fact that we're exhausted, that is a human weakness. Our tendency to have an impurity of intention, that there always, most times, there is that little tiny bit in the good things we do, not the bad things, the good actions that we do, and we make up our mind, I'm going to do this, there usually is this tiny hint of, what can I get out of it for me? How can that make me feel good? And so we lose a little bit because of our pride. Impurity of intention. That's something that's constantly battling us. Another weakness, human weakness that we have in different varying degrees is our attachment to comfort. Not necessarily, not sinful. The fact that we don't naturally seek suffering, we have a natural attachment to being comfortable, to sustain our life. That's a human weakness. We have a human weakness about the fear of suffering. We're scared to suffer. We're scared that it's going to be painful, that it's going to hurt, that we're going to become depressed when we suffer. Our human weakness, we have doubts. Not usually sinful, a doubt. It's usually not a sin at all, it's a human weakness. And we have a lack of trust because ultimately we're putting that trust in ourselves and we're failing to realize that God is infinite. He is all-powerful, almighty, He knows everything. But we think to ourselves that it's not going to work out in our benefit somehow, some way. That's a doubt, a lack of trust. But on top of this list, I want to take a step further, really focusing on our human weaknesses, how those things, they're not an obstacle to holiness. In fact, when we recognize them for what they truly are and embrace the fact that we are weak, that helps us become strong. But this point, this final point, this, for some reason in our minds, this sounds worse than, it sounds more wrong, I don't know how else to say it, in our mind than the line before, oh, happy I am to see myself imperfect. Okay, that sounds contrary to reason. Then this paradox, oh, how happy I am to see others imperfect. That's probably harder to bear. Oh, how happy I am to see others imperfect. And just by recognizing the fact that that might be harder to hear, it truly shows us that we are inclined to selfishness. We are inclined to our own will. We want to see ourselves perfect, and we don't think that there's anything wrong with us, but we're constantly always seeing other people and their imperfections, their human weaknesses. Oh, how happy I am to see others imperfect. Because if we should take glory in our imperfections, the fact that God will lift us up from that and that humbles us, we should also apply that to our neighbor. That their human weakness, their fallen human nature should not be an obstacle to us recognizing that we need to abide by the laws of charity. So St. Therese, she explains this concept, which is very, very deep. It sounds very simple at the beginning, but it's incredibly deep. And that's why it's so fascinating. The simplest things can become the most theologically profound. And she describes it very simply as this, that children often fall over. We see little kids and they don't quite have the coordination yet. Their muscles are still developing, their bones are still quite soft. Little children, they fall over. But when you notice how they fall over, it's always, they just kind of hit the ground. And it's not very painful, as long as they don't hit their head. It's not very painful, they just kind of tip over. And so you can see the logic. Little kids, they're not discouraged when they hit the ground. It's almost like they're used to it. They can expect it. They're used to their lack of coordination. And they don't hurt themselves very badly because they're not very high off the ground. They're really close to the ground. If you want to take that analogy, now you apply it to pride. The higher we go, the more painful it is when we fall. The little children, they recognize, we take that analogy and apply it to our human weaknesses. If we keep those human weaknesses before us, we become as little children. We stay close to the ground. We don't elevate ourselves beyond what we truly are. And then we're not discouraged by our faults. When we fail in some of those little things, we're not discouraged. We're not led to pride of thinking that I need to overcome this. I need to do this. I am not good enough. I need to be better. Of course, that always exists. But we have to remember that line in sacred scripture as well, that our Lord, he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's almost like we see another paradox in that as well. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, if you took that into your own hands, like many times we do psychologically, and we try to apply that to ourselves and do good, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, I'm going to be perfect now. It's impossible without God's grace. We're setting ourselves up for failure. We're misunderstanding that line. Jesus is saying, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And only I am the one who can give you the strength to become that. You can't do it on your own. You're weak. You have weaknesses. Only I can lift you up to that perfection. And that's a very humbling thing that ties right back in with being children. Can we be as perfect as God? No, it's impossible. But we're still called to strive to eliminate all those imperfections from our life. But that doesn't mean that when there's little obstacles that come in the way, that completely derails us. God knows that we have those weaknesses. God knows that we have those imperfections. And that is part of the plan. That's part of the plan to keep us humble so that we go to God. If we didn't have any of those weaknesses, we would naturally not go to God at all. We would just think that we could do it by ourselves. We wouldn't seek help. We would just naturally fall into pride, thinking that we can do it. And then we would be tempted and then we would fall. We also are given that line from sacred scripture that we're familiar with. With God, all things are possible. It doesn't just say all things are possible. It says with God, all things are possible. So it's our absolute necessity of God's grace, our absolute necessity of overcoming anything that we're struggling with, we need God's grace. We have to continually stay in that spirit of childlike abandonment to God, that prayerful devotion to God. So we see with St. Thérèse, tying this back to the original point of our sorrowful mother, for St. Thérèse, just like Our Lady, the joy is not found in the absence of suffering or weakness. It is found in those things. It is found in accepting those things. That's where it's found. And St. Thérèse, we know that she even desired to find new imperfections in herself every single day, because that would mean that God would have more glory in fixing her every single day. She understood that these weaknesses basically invites God's grace to come into us, the fact that we need it. Now, tying these things in with St. Louis de Montfort and his spirituality, this is, of course, the core of his spirituality, that we must place our confidence in Mary and abandon ourselves entirely into her care rather than relying on our own strength. Once again, it's the abandonment of self as a child, spiritual humility, that God will perform the increase in us. And so the main theme is that God knows what's best for us. We don't know ourselves. He knows what's best for us. Whatever trials that we experience, whatever difficult situations, difficult people that we have in our life, those things are not obstacles to our holiness. They are the things that God will put in front of us to make us holy. And it's when we really understand that about our Lady and her sufferings, the spirituality of the saints like St. Therese, we see that there is something really missing in us. If we don't fully understand those quotes, and it's very difficult to really get fully there, to fully understand, I take pleasure in knowing that I am weak, and I take pleasure in knowing that my neighbor is weak. Those thoughts are very difficult to achieve, but those thoughts show us there's something really missing in us, and that is charity, the love of God. St. Louis says this: our good mother purifies, embellishes, and makes our actions so worthy by making us share in her merits. Thus, all that we give to Mary will be given to Jesus far more worthily than if we gave it to ourselves. We're very familiar with this. So let us, this month, this upcoming month, especially devoted to the Holy Rosary as well, coming up on Monday, let us have a renewed confidence in our prayers, and let us really strive to be okay with our weakness, our human weakness, our difficulty in prayer. Let that not rile us up. Let that be something that actually propels us further to God. The fact that we struggle, the fact that we can't do it by ourselves. Let the imperfections of our neighbor be something that propels us to God. Very difficult to put that into practice. But St. Louis says, through Mary, she makes our imperfections, she fixes us, she makes our imperfections become the very path towards holiness itself. And so let us today, on this meeting, really continue those thoughts of our sorrowful mother, reflect on our spiritual life, and not be discouraged in our human weakness. The human weaknesses that we experience, they are not sinful, but they are something that are in us, it's part of our human constitution, to help propel us towards God. Oh, how happy I am to see myself imperfect and so much in need of God's mercy. Oh, how happy I am to see others imperfect and so much in need of God's mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,